are recording.
We're playing lip balm.
I need to do that.
Shout out Summer Fridays, New Guava.
The way they miss me with their invitations.
I don't know why they invite me.
You know, they invited me to one event, which was their skin tints.
I always want to go to their events, but never can because they're always in the day and I'm always in the office. But they were, if I work for you, turn this off. I was working for the mall in Soho yesterday and it was literally a block over. And I was like, you know what?
Oh, perfect.
I'm going to sneak away for 15 minutes. It's fine. It was awesome.
It was what they like took over a store?
They didn't take anything over. They just opened their own place. It's not a Summer Friday store. It was clearly an empty venue and it was huge.
Are they doing like a prolonged pop-up?
Like a weekend situation.
That's a crazy amount of work for a weekend. Give it a month.
It was like the whole thing obviously was custom. It was.
That's why I'm like, why are you putting so much work for one weekend?
Because it's marketing, baby.
Like legit, if you did it, I feel like if they did it for a month, they would sell so many freaking lip balm.
Yeah, but it's less about, they're not doing the pop-up to make revenue. You know what I mean? They're doing it to.
That's crazy to me.
Well, they're a hugely successful beauty brand, but it's just for the organic content of it all.
Sephora was like, oh, you can't sell these.
No, this is definitely, things like this are usually not Sephora related. Mm. It's just, they can do whatever they want. So I think they're just like, let's take over New York. And it was cute. I met Mariana.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was cute. She was incredibly cool and incredibly nice.
It's founded by Mariana, who's like an OG influencer, content creator, whatever you like to call yourselves.
Co-founded. And then there's Lauren Ireland, I believe, who's sort of Mariana but blonde.
Is she also an influencer?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
When two influencers get together.
You know what I like though, and this is what I will say. I actually really do Summer Fridays, but aside from that, have I said this on the show before? I've certainly said it to you. I think that beauty desperately needs to leave its founder era. We're done. Mm-hmm. It's not about you. If I could speak freely, a lot of brands are founded just so the founder can be a founder. It's like not about the brand. It's about them. And Summer Fridays is very, the opposite. It is very much about the brand. And Lauren and Mariana, who I don't know personally, they have that very elevated, minimal, hot girl LA look, which is reflected in the brand, but it's not about them. They're very rarely on the socials or on the site. So I'm like, okay, that's okay with me. But I'm going to start naming names.
Their first product, the jet lag mask, I tried it and it was like this viral product. And part of me was like, have none of you moisturized before? Legitimately, I did not get it. I've tried it several times because I'm like, why, if everyone loves this, why am I being a hater? And I was like, no, it just feels like really thick occlusive moisturizer. I don't get it personally, but it would be great on a flight. But at the same time, we all have moisturizer.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you. I think the collection itself, it's minimal, but active formulas and aren't going to fuck your skin up as long as you don't use 20 of them. But I agree with you about jet lag. I tried it too. And I was like, okay.
So it's moisturizer.
Yeah. So
that's it.
That gel moisturizer though. My skin never looks better. My skin never looks better than when I use that. I don't know what it's just a big hyaluronic acid bomb. It's just a gel moisturizer. It's nothing crazy. But
I didn't even know they have one.
My skin, telling you, never looks better. I don't know why I ever use anything else because I hate myself.
I'm starting on that PDRN shit with, you know, Medicube, that Korean beauty brand.
I don't understand a word you just said to me. Explain it.
It's like the salmon DNA shit that everyone's about, but it's called PDRN, which stands for something I don't know, but... I got that Medicube, that like booster wand that all the influencers wear.
Is it? Does it shape like this?
It's shaped just like a wand.
Oh.
Like it almost looks like a sex toy. And then you just run it over your face every day.
Does it have a teardrop tip?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And it's like $500, but because we are blessed and highly favored, we get some. They're just like, here. They didn't even ask. They're just like, here you go. Have it. And I was like, oh, okay.
Love.
But that shit like really, like on the lowest setting, it's making your facial muscles twitch. So I was like, okay, this is doing something.
Is it electrocurrent and red light too?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's got four different settings.
Shit.
I don't know. We'll see. I just started using it with the salmon sperm.
You know what device I love? Wait, we got to go back to that. I love the Theraface that is everything in
the
one.
The one that just beats up your face.
It's like a Clarisonic. It's a massager. It's a red light. It's an everything. It's so good. It's expensive, but it's worth it.
And I remember, like, I keenly remember now as I'm like saying, I'm trying salmon sperm products that like on our episode with Emma Vernon, I was like, what is this? What is this? I'm not going to inject it, mostly because I'm poor, but try it topically. Also, not for nothing, and maybe just because it is like such a heavy occlusive moisturizer, I'm like, my skin does feel very moisturized.
Your skin looks, I mean, your skin always looks very newsflash.
But it feels very like bouncy. I also like, when I realized, because I was in Miami for the last 10 days, the weather there, very dry skin friendly. Like I could wash my face and not immediately it feel tight.
I love Miami.
I get like middle of the day when my face sucks up all my products. Mm. I start to feel a little tight, and it never happened there.
Oh, cool.
I was like, yeah. Soft water.
It's nice and humid there.
Yeah.
Humid.
Very.
What's on your nails? It's so cute.
Gel cat on
it. It's so pretty.
I wanted it to be like translucent, like glassy. But
oh, it's so pretty. It is.
I did like a white jelly, and I think it made it too trans, too opaque.
I think it's so beautiful.
It's funny. They look. I like how they look nice. I look like I have like mannequin hands, but then I'm like nude. Who am I?
That's a rich girl
male. What's going on? Me and my trad wife era. But I did on the last day there. I made it to. Okay, so we had a whole fucking fiasco with our Airbnb.
I'm telling you, girl.
Dude, I was thinking of you the whole time because I was like, Tynan was right.
Listen, the good Lord invented hotels for a reason.
Airbnb is cooked.
I'm sorry. But sometimes you just got to fork over the money.
It's so expensive, hotels.
It's also expensive, Sable, your pride.
I know. We found a reasonably priced Airbnb in North Beach the first 4 days because Noah was working. We were in a hotel that his work put him up at, which is great. And then we extended the trip for
the
like...
The Esme, right?
Yes, the
Esme. I love the Esme.
Which so many people were like, oh my God, I love that place. And we were both like, this hotel sucks.
The Esme is great.
It's cute. It's beautiful. It's very
pink.
Small.
Yeah.
It's very small.
Our room is pretty small.
I will say. That's the only thing that I was like, is the smallness of it. And the fact that our shower kept leaking everywhere. But that's another story.
Oh, pretty.
Also, why don't hotels have bathtubs anymore?
That's a fair question.
No, unless you like upgrade to some suite, like you don't get a bathtub. And I think that sucks.
Hello, I'm here to take a selfie.
Exactly. I want to take a nice bubble bath that's not in my disgusting New York City apartment bathtub that I have to clean.
Hey, I want to use a bath bomb, goddammit.
I know, yeah. I want to destroy this bathtub and not just clean it.
Last time I took a bath, I think I was in Milan for that reason alone. Yep. I was like, I don't own this tub.
I don't have to clean the ringer on the tub.
I was drunk at 1 a.m. I was like, taking a bath.
So yeah, we booked an Airbnb. We get there, we check in at 5 p.m. It's like Friday on Memorial Day weekend. The AC's broken. 85 degrees inside, still air. Just like we're in a tin can of heat. And so I'm like messaging the host. I'm like, hey, so what's the deal? Your HVAC system seems to be busted. And then she's okay, I'll tell building maintenance to put in a report. And then I'm like, okay, that doesn't really help us right now.
That doesn't sound like a solution.
Yeah, I'm like, it's Friday night. I don't think they're going to come. So we stay there for, because like the thing with Airbnb is that if you need to cancel, you have to do it immediately if you want to get your money back. Like you have to make it be like, I can't stay here at all. It's horrible. Like, it's uninhabitable. Because if you stay there for a night, they're just like, why did you stay there for a night if it was uninhabitable? Even though we're like, we don't want to just spend a ton of money getting a hotel if we're not going to get this refunded. So we stay there for one miserable night, just like sleeping on top of the covers with like wet towels on our foreheads.
Oh my God.
Like that bad. It was so hot. There wasn't even a fan. I'm like, honestly, if there was a ceiling fan, this would have been bearable.
Sure.
But there was nothing. And then the next day, it's like Saturday, and we're just on the phone, like back and forth with the host. Keep us updated when a technician's coming. And she's, I'll keep you updated. And it was very clearly like a third-party chatbot because it kept being like, thank you so much for your question. I'm doing the best I can. And I was like, you're responding really fast and really thick bricks of text. Mm-hmm. A human doesn't do that. And then finally, we just called Airbnb customer service, talked to a very nice person who then was like, okay, I will contact the host. And then they had to be like the third party liaison. And they were like, okay, so they said the host can't get in touch with a technician. And I was like, cool, that's not what they told us. They told us that someone was coming. And they're like, they told us they couldn't get in touch. And I was like, so you lied to me. So we just basically wasted a whole day in a hot apartment with customer service. Eventually found this like really cool hotel inland in Wynwood.
Sound it out, girl.
Sure.
You told me Wynwood, yeah.
Yeah, Wynwood. I don't know why I thought it was Wynwood for a second. It's like the, I don't know, whatever, like hip, arty kind of district.
Sure.
But it was one of those hotels where they also do long, like short-term leases. So every unit is an apartment, which is cool.
Those are kind of the tea.
No, but that's what I was thinking. And because it was last minute and they had openings, it was really cheap. Yeah, so it ended up, it would have cost just as much for this Airbnb, except that we could only get like a partial refund because we stayed one night. So I was like, God damn it.
Crooks.
But yeah, that hotel ended up being awesome. And then I had never stayed off the beach in Miami before.
Yeah.
So it was really cool getting to see the city side of it. We went to some cool museums and we were right down the block from this one like independent perfume boutique called Ozme, O-S-M-E, which was like closed one day. And then the next day we went and it was opened, except their closed sign was still on. So part of me was like, maybe it was open yesterday and they just forgot to flip the sign. Huh. I don't know. I didn't check. But it was a really cool looking store. It's shaped, it looked kind of like a spaceship inside it. And it had like, comically, it had every brand that a 12-year-old hypebeast boy on YouTube would like vlog.
That actually feels very Stealth Miami.
Yes, like, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was like, oh, it felt honestly like toxic masculinity style.
Love, love.
It was like, you walk in immediately to the right, Zerhoff. Immediately to the left is, fuck it, what's the other one that they always talk about?
Here I didn't know Zerhoff was a thing.
The only context I've heard Zerhoff in is from 15-year-old boys on YouTube talking about it.
Here I thought I like discovered some niche brand.
It's so funny. But yeah, they had all those niche brands. They had some stuff that had overlap with what I saw at Stealth, but like a lot of it was, some of them I hadn't seen before at all. But yeah, a lot of it was these like hype beastie.
I don't mind that. It was funny. I love to smell in person.
When we were there, I was just kind of like walking around and sniffing some things. There were these two, they look like college aged guys, and they were like feverishly smelling things, walking outside, letting it air out, smelling it, and then walking back in. That's over and over again. It was really distracting, honestly.
That's like when you swatch a foundation shade at Sephora and you have to, one, let it dry down and oxidize, and two, you have to see it out of the Sephora lighting.
Exactly.
Because like the Sephora is always lit like the inside of a fridge.
Exactly.
So it's like, yeah, it's like, what does this look like in real life, actually?
But it was, I mean, they were like just being really distracting because they were, it's like children in a candy store where they move and they have no concept of spatial awareness. And I was like, bro, I'm literally like, you don't have to touch me when you're standing next to me. That's insane that not only are you touching me, that like you don't notice that you're touching me. Get away. And then the one kind of like wary looking shopkeeper was just like, hey, I'm like, you must be used to this by now. But
yeah,
it was the only time in recent memory I can remember when we left and they were just all doing another one of their outside examinations, and I held the door for them and they didn't say thank you, and I said, you're welcome.
Oh my god, you are my father.
Yeah, it's so rude.
It is rude.
It's one of my pet peeves where I'm just like, if you don't say thank you, I'm gonna push you back in and close the door on you. Like,
you're not going through this door.
Not on my watch.
I love those extended stay or whatever the hell you call them, like hotels that are like actually apartments. The first time my boyfriend and I traveled together, we stayed in one of those, and I was initially like, okay. And it was just the fucking nicest. You know
what
I mean?
The vibe was a bit like you're in a WeWork hotel.
Yeah.
It was very under-designed.
But having the room.
Yeah, having a full kitchen, a full living room, and a bedroom. That's the tea.
It is. If I'm in Miami, I never want to stay that far from the ocean. So
yeah, that was the only thing that was like, meh.
And when I'm in Miami, I want the fantasy of it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But
that's awesome. I'm glad you made it back safely.
Yeah.
You were texting me about the Airbnb drama, and I was like, oh, she is down bad.
The whole time I was like, Tynan was right. But these hotel prices, my God.
Ugh. Yeah.
And then this weekend.
Though I'd pay that to not deal with that. For the peace of mind to know.
Exactly. But now I'm like, maybe the move, and this is like the most risky thing ever. I'm like, maybe the move is not booking accommodations and booking it same night when you get there.
I'm not that brave. I'll do that with concerts. Yeah. I won't do that with hotels.
That is a little too risky. That's like a type of gambling that I don't have the stones for.
Yeah. That's funny.
But I was honestly surprised at how many vacancies there were in hotels on Memorial Day weekend. Like at last minute.
That is odd.
It made me wonder. I'm like, what's going on? Recession indicator.
Smell you later, Miami.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
That would be fun.
It would be fun.
That'd be really fun.
Those people smell crazy.
Dude. Miami is a fake place.
Miami is fake, yeah.
It's I feel like I'm in a Kim Petras music video or like GTA, Grand Theft Auto.
Wait, was it? Where was the convention at? The one hotel?
Yes.
Is that the one with the gigantic Hello Kitty statues?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I was like, this place is not real, it's fake. Made for me. It's so funny.
Oh my God. I don't know if it was there this year, but I distinctly remember seeing it last year.
Yeah.
Distinctly.
Yeah. It was like Hello Kitty, My Melody, and another one.
Yep.
So funny.
Anyway. My favorite like art group called Friends With You is based in Miami. And surprisingly, they don't really have any local exhibits or anything in the museums there. So I was like, huh. They're the ones that do all like the funny characters with the big cloud with the smiley face.
Yeah.
They're very like cartoonish. It almost looks like they're like a kid's toy line, but they're not.
Yeah.
But that's what I love about the Miami. I was like, just make things with cute faces.
Yep.
And I will go there.
Love that. Yeah. That's all it takes.
It's my little Miami.
Did you hear that road sold for $1 billion?
Yep.
Crazy.
I feel like
that's all I have to add. It's just like crazy. Like everything everyone says is true. It's crazy.
I feel like that's another instance where it's like $1 billion with caveats.
It's $800 million with a $200 million buyout or earnout, which actually I found out what
even
the fuck
is that, an earnout.
I have an answer for
in
us.
That context.
Thank you to founder of Raconteur Fragrances, who will be gracing us with
their
present.
I think it's
Raconteur. Listen to our show, and he said, to your question on your latest podcast app, an earnout is when the seller of a business has to stick around after a sale to try to ensure the projected earnings show in due diligence and are in fact achieved by the buyer. This period is usually a year or two. If the earnings are delivered as projected, then the seller gets an uplift in the price. So I guess that makes sense. And
yeah.
Rode is obviously going to do it. So Rode is bought by Elf, and Elf, not the makeup brand, Elf, like the conglomerate that also owns Naturium.
I didn't realize they own Naturium as well.
Yes, and Alicia Keys' flop brand.
Because Naturium also had a pretty splashy.
Yes, and quick.
Yeah.
The thing that makes Rode unprecedented, because that's where people keep using unprecedented, and it is true. So
it's just
fast. It happened in under 3 years and with only 10 SKUs. That's what's crazy, but obviously Rode is growing extremely fast. They're entering Sephora. Elf is going to take them global. It's going to give them the capital to do complexion and
and fragrance, probably.
And fragrance. Crazy. It's funny. I was talking to Kara and I'm like, I like Rode.
They're fine.
Yeah. They're like Glossier. If you have perfect.
That's the thing. I feel like they're Gen Z Glossier.
Yeah. It's like if you have perfect skin, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
I've never disliked a Rode product I've used, and I think I've used all of them, but I don't feel like they have a hero.
No? I thought it was the lip balms.
No, it's the lip balms because they're all still gritty.
But they didn't fix it yet?
No.
Oh.
I have one in my bag and it's a little gritty.
I have one, but I got it like over a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I said to Kara, I was like, they don't have a hero. And she was like, it's Haley. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
you're right,
that's
obviously.
True. Their like moisturizer is pretty well loved.
It's good.
Bare balm.
Bare,
I don't know if it's called. Bare or something, whatever. Yeah. The glazing milk. I haven't tried the glazing ever.
It's
now they
good.
Have a face spray. Like,
shout out to billionaires. Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay. So
can we go there? Is that?
We
is
can
that
go there.
Okay, great.
Yeah. I smell like just released. I believe as of when this episode will air.
I think, yeah.
Net Lemon Puff.
Let's talk about it.
Lemon Puff.
Lemon Puff.
I love the name.
I did too.
Number one, love the name.
Can I smell it again?
I sprayed it on like maybe 2 hours ago.
Yeah, I've been like soaked in it all week.
Yeah. First of all, love the name. I
love
that
the name. Already. Love the campaign.
The campaign was great. So great. It was so desserty. You know what's funny is like yesterday I had a misfortune befall me, and then I went to the comfort place of wanting a treat, and then because we went to the Lemon Puff event 2 days earlier, I was like, I really want like a lemon cake or like a lemon tart.
That's how they get you.
And there was nothing around except I went to Martha's County Bakery, which is always a mistake, and got a lemon cupcake and a key lime pie slice that were both terrible.
What is that?
They haven't. There's two locations in Williamsburg. It's like the big like dessert cafe.
I don't know.
It's just, it gives you like old school diner, but it's not. But it's just, it's like a late night, all day dessert place that I'm glad is there, but everything is like always mid.
What's it called? Martha's?
Martha's County Bakery. You've walked past it so many times.
I look.
Yeah. You've definitely seen it.
Martha's Country Bakery.
Country, sorry.
Oh,
my bad.
This one? Oh, this one?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No. The desserts are always.
They're beautiful. I can tell.
But when you want a sweet treat, they have the range.
I feel like it's one of those places that you just know, like, blast the air conditioner.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. It is always 45 degrees in there.
Yes. And we went to the launch event this week.
Beautiful. The best photo treatments lemons I've ever seen.
Yes.
And I was honestly surprised because, like, after the success of Pear Jam, I was like, oh, okay, like a summery light citrus. I was thinking it would be that. And it's not.
I'm so glad you said that because that's exactly what I thought, too.
Yeah.
So Net, if you'll remember, released a collection of 5 core fragrances, and then their first addition to it post Sephora was Pear Jam, which is obviously a
very
fruity,
juicy, like it delivers
hairy,
pear.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Get pear. You it's get like, so much pear.
It's like sparkling. It's, I hate this, but like nostalgia, like it feels like an elevated body spray, and that's not derogatory. And so I thought the same thing.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, they're doing it again.
Uh-huh.
But they're really not. It's
no.
really something new.
It reads like a floral amber, honestly, to me.
Yeah, no, it's like a spicy floral.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of that
yeah.
jasmine sambac.
There's a lot
it.
Of, yeah, that like ambery warmth, mm-hmm. like that nectary ambery warmth.
Mm-hmm.
I almost, like, if you didn't tell me this was lemon, I would not have gone there
I
at
think
all.
I'm with you. Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
I would have assumed it was like a lactonic floral amber.
I think I'd counter you and say, how can I not just contradict what I agree with? Like a spicy floral with citrus up top, but it doesn't
yes.
but it doesn't give
yeah.
you that citrus. It just has that like brightness.
Yeah, I agree. It's like textural. If I did a blind smell of this, I would have thought it was like another flanker of YSL Libra.
I agree. But it is sweeter and warmer too. It's more puff than lemon, which I'm okay with. So some of what they hero out: lemon heart, torched meringue, jasmine sambac, tonka bean, sandalwood, bitter almond, and musk. I actually do get more. What jumped out at me first was the almond, actually.
Really?
And it doesn't have that like amaretto-y-ness to it, but it has that sort of nutty, soft, nutty roundness.
I think the almond is what gives it like a little bit of electronic roundness for me. Yeah, like I feel
it's
like...
It's so much more citrus on the platter. That's so funny.
It's also like I just sprayed it. Yeah, true. So you're going to get the citrus immediately. But I think it's the almond and the meringue that give me like a hint of electronic something.
I think it's going to be a crowd pleaser.
Oh, for sure.
I think that it's going to be especially nice in the fall winter because it's not...
It's almost like the name belies the scent.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm almost like, should you have named this scent that?
I like it.
I think the name is cute. I also think it's misleading.
I don't think it's misleading. I do think it's more puff than anything. And I think that it's aligned with the naming conventions that are hot right now and the notes in the name. I like it. It's not like a warm fragrance, but it's probably like the warmest version of what you might think this would be.
I still don't get lemon, but...
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I get like citrus on top. That's what I get.
Yeah.
I still think the name is cute. The fragrance is cute.
Yeah.
I do wonder... I do be wondering.
What I will say, I hear you on the wondering, the whom of it all.
Yeah.
I think what I like about Nets, like I really fucking like that collection, honestly. But what I like about the original five fine fragrances is that they feel like minimal elevated like benchmarks in a way that's, again, not derogatory. Like I think Tavenny is the most interesting and certainly the biggest, probably aside from Pear Jam. But
yeah, Tavenny is the outlier, the hero for sure.
Yeah, I love La Forêt as well, like with all my heart. But I think what I like about this one is it's very on trend, so it's hard to call it like conceptual, but it is more of a sort of, it feels more conceptual in that it's not on the nose of what it's supposed to be. I don't know if that was coherent, but I believe what I said. Yeah.
I got it.
Okay, great. I'm happy it's here. I love Nat. I love a Nat launch. And
I found myself reaching for it more than I thought I would.
Really?
Since that event. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's one of those scents that you just feel, it just kind of makes you feel like happy when you wear it. It's not like happy in a forceful, energetic way, the way many citruses purport themselves to be.
Yes.
It's not energizing necessarily, but it is like a very nice, happy kind of content.
Totally. And what I think that they did here too with the name and certainly the campaign and the whole idea of it is more than anyone that little treat culture is huge.
Oh, yes.
And the Instagrammable desserts and the food flat lays and campaigns, like it's all here and it's all summed up in this in a way that's, oh, they nailed that.
Yeah.
I get it. You're right. Yeah. Thank you, Sable. And Carl Osterberg shot this campaign who like does all of that.
Okay. Just you knew who that was. Best. I did not know who that was.
Yeah. He's incredible. And it couldn't be a better pairing. Like Carol, I think she's a creative director of the brand.
Yeah.
And she gets it and she executes so well. And I don't know. And the yellow like underpainting of the bottle just makes it glow like the sunflower yellow. It's so nice. It's so great.
I really like
God
it.
Damn it.
Honestly, if you had called this something sunflower, I think that would have gone too. That would have hit.
It's not floral though.
It's a flower.
Yeah, you are right in that.
Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I was at this, I don't know, fucking like design event and maybe 2 weeks ago at the showroom and a friend of mine, it smelled like incredible and I couldn't place it. And I kept getting, it wasn't iris, but it had that sort of feel, that sort of like puffy texture, but it was a little drier. And I finally was like, Alian, what are you wearing? And he was like, oh, it's called Seminales. And I was like, oh, cool. And he was like, it's supposed to smell like cum.
Yeah, I was just like, I was like, do you mean?
I was like, I'm sorry, what? He's like, yeah, it's supposed to smell like cum. And I was like, what? Huh? And
okay.
So obviously I hyperfixated on it.
Yeah.
And
who's it by?
It is by Orto Parisi.
Oh, yeah. That line is like very weird. I feel like that's like a perfume line for perverts, respectfully.
Yeah.
They like to do wacky stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I immediately hit the brand up and they sent me this as well as a discovery set.
Yeah. They're with Euro Parfums. Yeah.
Oh.
Because I remember when I went to the headquarters, they were showing us like their one that was like made with like holy water from Egypt.
Oh, I had no idea. Okay. I'm excited to smell that one too. So they don't have the notes on the site that I can find. All it says is, Seminales is our first stimulus in a fragrance bottle, an aromatic aldehyde which helps sperm to locate the ovum. Biological proof of olfactive attraction. Life initiated by smell.
Okay.
I'm like, okay.
It's giving pro-life.
Yeah, it's giving something. But of we've smelled a couple scents that are supposed to smell like some variation of this, and most of them are horrendous. And this one, I mean,
it's really nice.
The concept aside, it's I think it's really beautiful. Do you smell that?
That is really nice.
Isn't it so nice?
That smells like such a me scent.
I know.
It's irisy and a little grassy.
It's like a dry iris, I would say. So I did track down some notes. The top is lacton. The heart is raspberry, lily of the valley, carnation. And the base is cedar, leather, patchouli, sandalwood, sugar, and vanilla.
Really nice.
It's just so nice.
Wow.
Today's the first day that I've worn it. And yeah, I don't know.
Cum scent.
The cum scent. And... I'm no expert, but this doesn't remind me of semen or sex or any of that.
No, absolutely it's just like, not. I was like, no, I've never smelled cum that smelled that good.
No, and like this could easily be someone's everyday fragrance.
Yeah.
And I almost like, it is more of a you scent than a me scent, but I really appreciate it. And I can't imagine making this my everyday scent. And when someone asks about it being like, but no, I love it. I'm excited to wear my way through the rest of the collection. And I think this is my favorite version of this type of idea.
Yeah, yeah. They at least made it wearable to the point where it's not meant to be jarring.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Jump scare.
Yeah.
God, we need you an episode on all...
The cum sense. Oh my God, a cum round table. Oh my God. I don't ever do this, but I want to make a reel about it just because I know that one, no editor would approve this pitch into...
No, I feel like they might.
True. But no one else would make this reel but me. You know what I mean?
Do it before someone else does.
That's fucking true.
Yeah.
I think my mom just joined Instagram and it's, can you imagine?
She did follow me.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Imagine the first thing she sees is her one and only child on Al Gore's internet talking about cum. Please, God. Anyway.
It's funny because I feel like for reasons like that, there should be a feature where you can like.
Hide from your parents.
Yeah. Like, you know how you can hide your story from. Like, yes. You should be able to hide from individuals.
Whatever. I've said so much worse on this podcast without thinking twice. I'll bring you this.
Oh, I'm so excited to smell these.
Not that.
Okay, never mind. Now I'm curious. Yay!
Comes out Friday.
Ooh, what the heck is this?
Set boosters. Well, I mean, don't
do
eat.
Do they melt in them?
Yeah, they dissolve.
It looks like when people do candle making classes and they
Oh my God, it does.
Okay, so Tina just handed me two Ziploc bags full of one, a mysterious little waxy bead substance, and then a couple laundry pods.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Mojave Peach. I think this is the best scent of ours, for sure.
I wanted to try the mint one.
The mint, actually, so if you smelled it neat like that, you'd be like, no, on shit. It's really nice.
Oh.
Anyway, we have the three, in front of me stand three fragrances. These are the new colognes by Dia Sandorga. And
maybe I just missed that press release.
A little ASMR for the girls. Why is this so fucking... Yeah, so Dia Sandorga, you actually told... Sorry, let me get a time. It's going to corrupt this audio any more than already is.
So satisfying.
A live unwrapping. They pitched you these, right?
I'm sure they did, and I just didn't see it or whatever, because it really didn't ring a bell.
Okay, the bell is rung.
So there's three scents.
Three colognes, as they are calling them. It's very masculine coded.
Yeah, I'm like, are they calling it cologne because it's different? Because it's a different formula or because it's geared towards men?
I think that's an important distinction that we should make quick. And if you listen to this show, that you probably understand that cologne is actually a type of fragrance formula, not just a quote-unquote men's fragrance. It means, besides an Eau Fraiche, it's a cologne is one of the lighter raw material concentrations. So they're supposed to be a little bit more of a splash of a fresh scent, like more than an aftershave, but not as quite as heavy as a perfume. So that's the literal definition of cologne, though colloquially it has grown to mean a men's fragrance because men are flops. Let me see. It is interesting to me that they would do this. I say that quite... They do like to have fun. I think this is actually, now that I think about it, for such a kooky brand, this is the kookiest thing they could do.
Really?
Because it's conventional. And they're not, unconventional, you know? I'm reading the press release right now. Yeah, inspired by old-fashioned classics in both fragrance and menswear. Three limited edition scents, Grey Blazer, Gulf Jazz, and Rum Bay Rum. Yeah, not a whole ton about the inspiration, which I'm curious about. I just want to understand... What's going on here? Which one are you smelling right now?
So I'm smelling Gulf Jazz.
Okay.
The story, the copy on the box says, a freewheeling daydream of questionable tartan fits and fairway greens for giant putts. Swing, swing, swing. Notes, grass, limes, leather. It is very light, which I was not expecting for a Dia Sandorga scent because Diaz and Derg is notably like pretty punchy.
That'd be nice. It's nice. It's so nice.
It's like super, it's very light and fresh.
It smells like gin.
Yeah. There's like a...
Oh, that's not a me fragrance, but that's so nice.
Like a dry, grassy, like junipery.
Very. Light. The leather's nice too.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know it's like...
Are these the same price as their normal?
I believe so. Yeah, they're $210. Okay, do Gray Blazer next. This is the only one I've worn on skin, and I really enjoyed this one. This, I would say Gray Blazer it's crisp gray wool in soft herringbone tweed, a misty landscape of everyday comfort flecked with flowering grasses. Notes, isn't nice, green spices, hedgerow flowers, virgin wool, tea, cyclamen, mandarin, guaiacwood, carnation, tonka, lavender.
This is, I feel like, the most, I don't know, crowd-pleasing or non-offensive one.
Yeah. Smells better on skin, a little sweeter on skin, but that watery sweetness, yeah. What I like about this, I would say that the most conventional fragrance in this way that Diaz & Derg has done thus far prior to these would be the Carlisle collaboration with the hotel on the Upper East Side. And I really like that. Like, I don't go to Diaz & Derg for that shit,
yeah.
But...
Yeah, this is like not the scent that you necessarily would go to them for.
Exactly, but they did that one so well. And I feel like if we are reading this correctly to say that these are a little lighter, as colognes usually are, I don't know whether or not that is actually true for this collection. Gray Blazer feels like the Carlisle, but with a little less like meat and head to it. But I was really not surprised by how much I liked that one, but it was just like that floral, fresh, fruity sweetness. And it's not too much of that, but I didn't know what I was like tiptoeing into with these colognes, and this was Gray Blazer was really lovely. And now you're going for Rum Bay Rum, which is a name that I would have rethought, but what do I know?
Interesting, the label's different.
Yeah, I think they're all a little quirked up, shouty. Okay, wait, Rum Bay Rum, let me narrate this for you. She's ooing ladies.
This is nice.
A hug from the old world. Which old world are we talking about, David? Bay rum softened with sandalwood, lime, and linden. Notes, West Indian bay, linden, sandalwood, clove, neroli, pimento berry, rose, apopamax, juniper berry. Am I screaming into this mic? How is that?
It's nice. It's like what you would think a rum scent would be, but a lot fresher.
Wow. Yeah. Wait. Oh, wait.
Yeah, it's really nice.
What's my problem? This smells like cola.
It does. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, I didn't want to like that one at all. I'm mad.
It really does. Wow.
What?
Okay. Yeah, wow. So I feel like they all fulfill the cologne brief.
The prophecy.
The prophecy.
Which one is this one? I think this is
Golf Jazz. Golf Jazz. Golf Jazz, I feel, is the most Diaz & Derg-esque scent profile. Because it has that kind of like scratchy, tarry bass note.
Yeah.
That's like kind of earthy.
Yeah, agreed.
And then it has the lighter stuff on top that's different. That makes it unique.
Fuck, I really like this.
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed.
Rum Bay Rum. I feel like there's a pun that I'm not understanding.
I know, same. I hate being humbled in real time.
Why did you think you wouldn't like it? You like rum-based scents.
No, I don't. I like bourbon-based scents. Whiskey.
Well.
Congrats to Diaz & Derg. I'd love to be wrong. I mean, listen, I knew these were going to be good. This is just not what I go to Diaz & Derg
for.
Yeah, you know
exactly.
What I mean?
I feel like these are for the normies who are like looking for something a little quirky.
Yeah.
But I like that they can do that in their own way. Like, it's always in a very Diaz & Derg-y way.
I feel like I've knocked this mic 500 times. Sorry. But you told me, like, God, 18 months ago? I don't know when. Like, not recently, but you were like, David told me that he wants to start doing or explore more conventional things.
Totally.
And I feel like they winked at that with the Carlisle and with Crush Balls, the U.S.
The
Open fragrance.
One, yeah,
which is an incredible fragrance. Yeah. But these are great.
It's so weird to me, and I'm just coming into this knowledge against my will, that there are so many tennis-themed fragrances or like around that like incorporate notes that call back to like tennis, and I'm like, why? I'm thinking of all the Zerjoff tennis ones.
Well, isn't that like a partnership, though?
It is, but it's also available to everybody.
It's like Concept by Force.
It's not like they just made this scent for the event and you can only get it there. It's available for everybody, and like people collect them.
Yeah.
And they're, I think, more expensive than normal.
Tennis is hotter than ever.
What? I don't get it personally, but okay.
But okay.
Sure. Sports are hot. I don't know. I feel like sports are now becoming a thing.
That's because the entire nation decided they want to be conservative. I definitely don't want to talk about these.
I don't want to talk about them either.
You didn't even
know. I was sent, against my will, I received Blake Brown's hair scents.
Blake Lively's hair scents.
Blake, the brand is Blake Brown.
Blake Brown, yeah.
But they're Blake Lively.
I don't think people give a shit about this brand.
I don't think so either. I feel like there was some splash, like a little bit of media hype around it, just all the press release regurgitated pieces. I actually remember seeing a lot of social media posts about their like, why is this the image? Because the hair looked bad.
Yeah. Like you take Blake Lively, who's arguably like one of the most beautiful blonde women in America, and then you give her a hair brand and you don't style her hair for the
kids. And I'm sure that was her choice. Like, I'm sure her whole thing was like, I use these products and this is my authentic, like how we look. And everyone's like, we don't want authentic.
Yeah. This is a campaign.
Yeah.
Be aspirational. God damn it.
I don't know why they sent me this. I remember receiving the press email and the opt-in, and I did not opt in. And then they arrived
anyway. And here
anyway.
We are. And here we are. I'm still holding a grudge against. Who am I holding a grudge against? Lease, because they would fucking that to me. I don't just, they caught me on the wrong day.
You are holding in your hand the newest release from Krigler, the House of Krigler. I can't say the name. What's the name?
I can't say it either. That's all you.
Octave Aurum. And it's something, the Grand Palais in Paris, opera. It's honestly a very nice scent.
It's pretty. I can't put my finger on what it is.
It's just like this, it's like a light spice. It is spicy and ambery, but it's like light. It's not very heavy to me. It's really nice, actually. Yeah, it's really pretty. Okay.
We're having some... Are we on?
Yes.
We're having some technical difficulties. Sorry. So anyways, Krigler...
It's $900. Sales over it. I'm so annoyed right now.
Yes, it's very expensive and has a lot of spicy notes and is lovely.
Yep. If you have $900 to spend on a fragrance, I don't think you'll go wrong. Like, why am I marketing for fucking Krigler? Jesus fucking Christ.
It's pretty. Speaking of marketing.
Yeah.
Violet Grey, a luxury beauty and wellness retailer, has released their own namesake scent.
It's called Madame Grey.
Madame Grey, right. It made headlines this week or last week because it is $1,100, which is obviously astronomical. And what is notable about it, I will pull it up because this is what gave us trouble last time, is there is essentially no description of the fragrance on the site. It's all just like vibe and concept, and not even vibe words that are illustrative, like a long walk in the rain and the hot desert air. It's just a bunch of bullshit. And let's see, it begs the question, how do you market a fragrance without marketing the fragrance? And of course, that is probably the point. Why can't I fucking... So some of the only copy here is the scent of the one that got away, the first edition Madame Grey Extrait de Parfum. Designed to cast a spell and linger on the pillow, this fragrance captures a kind of devastating beauty, an ode to once wild love. The Extrait de Parfum is produced in a limited edition of 1,100 bottles. I guarantee you that's not true. The sculptural glass bottle, handcrafted, whatever. So it's $1,100 for 1,100, and they only produce 1,100 bottles, which they would not have developed a fragrance to only put out 1,100 units.
The editor's note said, what does it smell like?
Oh.
It smells like every girl that broke your heart. And then we were like, who's this for?
Who's that? Who are you speaking to if it's every girl that broke your heart? Not that women can't date women, but it's just what?
When they were pressed about it, they did release some notes to the press, to the media. I don't remember the notes exactly, but I remember thinking like, oh, that kind of smells like every luxury.
Sure.
It's like nothing rocking the boat necessarily. But also like when you make a scent that's like... Once, like, they all fucking smell the same.
This is clearly not about the fragrance at all. You know what I mean? It's about selling and wearing an $1,100 fragrance.
Violet Grey was like, we need a fragrance because now fragrance is huge. So let's do this stunt.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's a lovely product. It's a quality product. But I think it's more just like the splashiness of making an $1,100
Absolutely.
Fragrance.
And wearing the $1,100 fragrance.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the content creator, Sir Candleman?
Oh, yeah.
He did a really nice reel about it. Oh. And
do you have it? Do you have a sample?
He got a comp file.
Okay.
And so he described it in like using actual language.
Yeah.
And he liked it a lot. And his description definitely told me it's not something that I need to go out and smell, but I liked his description of it. And he was really pleased by it and said that a couple of people around him asked him what he was wearing. So I'm sure it's lovely. I'm sure it's not for me. I'm not the Violet Grey consumer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I saw that in the whole thing. Whatever, who cares? But it's okay, cool. Another luxury product for the sake of being luxury. Another $1,100
fragrance.
I feel
like this is, It feels like it's like the Goop playbook.
Yeah.
They're just like, let's make one like outlandishly luxury, like the most luxurious, AKA expensive product. And that's our stunt. And then, of course, like all the people in the VC world are probably like, wow, that's brilliant. And yet, I want to know how many units you're sitting on in 6 months' time.
Oh.
800 units.
I would love to like actually know.
I would love to know. I don't know who the Violet Grey customer is. Obviously, it's just like people in beauty, but who specifically is like, oh my God, Violet Grey, Chomp de Fragrance.
It's women's with homas in the Hamptons.
Yeah,
women's.
No, you're right. You're right. I think it is like this kind of rich enclave of people whose mentalities I simply cannot understand or relate to.
It's people who you don't need to show the price and don't need to market to. You know what I mean? That's why that product page away reads the way it does. It's because like it's not about it.
There's always going to be rich people who just buy whatever because they're so obscenely rich that like money literally is no object to them. Wouldn't know what that's like, but how many of those people shop at Violet Grey? Those are the people who have people coming to their home showing them things to buy.
Yeah, and the funny thing is like with the Violet Grey consumer, or at least who Violet Grey wants us to think that their consumer is, it's this is probably just like added value for the brand in the same way that like the maze of minis and travel sizes to get to the Sephora checkout is added value for like us. It's like, oh shit, maybe I do need that mini eyelash primer or I do need another beauty blender. It's like they're putting their Augustinis Botter and La Mer in their cart and they're like, oh yeah, they released a fragrance. Let me just top up on that.
Also like the margin on fragrance is so wide that if they sell like maybe 15 bottles, they can break even.
You should have made Die Hot with a Vengeance $1,100.
I should have, honestly. I dropped my AirPods in the subway the other day. I'm so
mad. Oh my God,
I'm
saw.
So mad. I was flipping my hair over my shoulder, not even particularly aggressively, just to stop my purse yanking the length of my hair.
Yeah.
The hair grabbed the AirPod, flung it into the subway tracks.
That's like New York nightmare.
And the worst thing about it is that the voice immediately in my head was like, I knew this would fucking happen. And I was like, shut up. This is not helpful.
I feel like it's a rite of package for New Yorkers. And I say that knocking on wood because I need new AirPods anyway. So I might as well just throw mine on the tracks. But
there's like this one woman in her 60s next to me. And she's like, ugh. I just saw that and I was like, shut the fuck up. That's so fucking unhelpful.
She was trying to be helpful.
She was like giving me her pity. I'm like, jump down there, Deborah. Help me. And so it's not only like this devastating feeling, now I'm embarrassed as well because this one woman's like, you poor thing. And I'm just like, it's just not how, I don't know.
No one wants to be in the subway anyway ever. And then you're down there and disaster befalls you and you feel like you're on like the world stage.
Yeah. Of course, New York fashion, like, no one is going to shit.
Of course.
And I saw that.
No one's jumping down there.
No one's jumping down there. And then later on, people are like, oh, if you tell an MTA worker, they have like a stick with a magnet in it, that'll get it for you. And part of me is like, why do they have that? Yeah. Why do they have a stick with a magnet?
Probably specifically for AirPods.
No, I think I'm just so used to being yelled at by public service workers. Yeah. I'm just like, no, they're just going to yell at me and call me a fucking idiot. And then they're going to humiliate me further by being like, no, you dumbass. It's not my job to help you. Ugh. So I have to go to the Apple store after this and pay $89 for a fucking left AirPod.
Can you buy them like a la carte? Really?
Can. If I had AppleCare, it would have been $29, which honestly, I think is a fucking ripoff.
Yeah.
If I have AppleCare, there should be a deductible. Once I hit the deductible, I should be able to get a free fucking AirPod.
I thought that's what AppleCare was.
No.
Oh.
It's just, it's basically a subscription in case like, oops, something happens and then they'll replace it for a much smaller fee.
Huh.
But for $89, I was like, fuck, I should just get different. I wish that the wired earbuds, the AirPods, came with the noise cancellation. That's the thing. Mm. I really like the noise cancellation.
I can't do a wire. I'm in the future.
I kind of like a wire. Mm. But also, again, I'm like, this way, my hair can't betray me.
That's not a bad
also,
point.
Also, I have very waxy ears. So sometimes they just slip out anyway. Anyway, that's my struggle of the week.
We will continue to struggle.
Yes. We will prevail. Give Apple more of my money.
Yeah, literally.
You know, maybe we'll get AppleCare this time. I have it for my phone, but that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see if I can sweet talk an Apple genius having pity on me.
If anyone could, you could.
I've had pretty good luck where I've had an issue with something and then there will be like a widespread issue that I didn't know of where they're like, oh, this is phased out or there's a glitch. So here you can have it for free. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, yay. We'll see.
I would say that an AirPod in the subway tracks is a widespread glitch.
I want to ask me like how many people come in with this because I'm sure it has to be a lot.
Yeah.
In New York.
I'm sure. Anyway.
Be careful, guys. Keep those AirPods in your ears. Yep. They're not irreplaceable, but expensive to replace. And please go to our website if you want to.
You can leave us a voice note there.
Yes, please leave us a voice note at our website, smellyoulater.live. We also have our merch there. You can find us and follow us on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3. I'm at Sable Juice Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.